Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Chopper Peak Pinnell, and I'm joined, as always, by my intangible co-host, Tempest. Hey, bud. How you doing? You all right?
I'm in pain, Pete. You're wearing a hood for some reason, and I've got a heated beanbag on my neck right now. Mm-hmm. Like I told you just off air, I woke up and my neck was just not agreeing with it. And it was weird. It was like, a lot of the time, it'll be, you wake up and if you start to move around, your neck will be like in pain. Mm-hmm. Or like, if you try and get up, you'll be like, oh, I'm achy and sore and everything. This was a moment where like, I opened my eyes and it was just pain. It was like I could not then roll over or find a comfortable place or anything like that to alleviate this. So I woke up and I was like, oh no, I've got a podcast in 20 minutes or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I just loaded up this beanbag and hopefully it'll carry me through.
Hey man, that's some good improvisation right there. Hope it gets better though. But maybe it's just the weight of the expectation of winning the Royal Jamble that's really weighing you down.
I think that might be it, actually.
Yeah, could be. Have you seen everyone's announcement videos? I thoroughly enjoyed your one. I thought it was great of people declaring themselves for the Jamble. If you guys haven't seen, there's several of them going around on Twitter. There's loads of people that are entering this Royal Jamble this year. It's crazy. We've got people like SP3. We've got Social Media Abby. Dan Layton, who does a lot of stuff for Cineworld with us as well. Mm-hmm. Host the What's On Cineworld show with Luke. There's been loads of them. There's loads of people getting in on the act. And everyone is tagging Luke. And they're just like, oh, Luke, coming for that championship. I'm like, why are you tagging Luke? I'm going to be champion after Royal Rumble. That's weird.
I didn't tag Luke.
No, I know you didn't.
I'm a good partner.
Exactly.
I'm a Google boy. Yeah. They've been very, very good.
They have.
And I can't wait to beat all of them.
Same. Yeah. It's going to be great. I really enjoyed Dan Layton's one. I don't know if you've seen it. I think he's very funny.
I think the only one that I haven't seen is Sat, and that's because it got posted today.
Yeah, his was posted today, which was all right, yeah. And I've seen, what was the other one that really stood out to me? Sully's, obviously.
Of course.
Because he's Sully, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Jamble. It should be a good show. Especially because, you know, both you and I are going to win and it's going to be great. And then we'll face off a Wrestle Jammy, a friendly competition. It's going to be a great time. Everyone's going to be happy. So we're going to be doing predictions for that on Wednesday. And we're going to have the live reactions on Saturday. And there's going to be so many people for this live reaction stream. It's going to be absolutely manic. Can't wait. Should be great. Last year's Jamble was nuts. Just maybe this time, Tempest, don't insert yourself in the stream and start screaming about Christian returning before everyone has seen it.
Yeah, well, it made the best of thing, so
yeah.
I have no regrets. I have no regrets.
Yeah. Speaking of chaotic things, today is the day where the next episode of Blood on the Clock Tower is being released, which is a very interesting episode because maybe both of us are on it.
Maybe.
Obviously, no spoilers for it. Don't you worry. But I did watch it last night because obviously I have special access because I can go to the back end of the No Rolls Barred YouTube channel and watch it. So that was my evening yesterday, was just watching the episode to see what how it actually turned out and how the cut looked and everything. It's certainly a game. I'll say that much. It's certainly a game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very, very fun episode. And there's some very fun parts of it. That's all I'll say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good episode. Can't wait for that to come out. Should be good.
Radio.
Yeah.
I'm quite looking forward to not only seeing it, but showing it to people. Be like, because I've explained like why I've been excited to play Blood on the Clock Tower, like as a game, not just be like, oh, I want to be on the show. Like, no, I want to play the game because it looks super fun. And I've tried explaining the game to a couple people where they're just like, I don't understand what you're saying to me. You're just spewing words. I want to be able to be like, look, this is the thing that I did. This is the game that I wanted to play. It's really fun, you know?
Yeah. I think I might have mentioned on a podcast a few weeks back or something that just randomly out of nowhere, my two closest friends that I speak to all the time, we got our own like little WhatsApp group and stuff like that, just the three of us. They just kind of offhandedly mentioned that they'd seen every Clock Tower episode. And I'm like,
why are you watching
this? Huh? You guys watch Blood on the Clock Tower? What are you talking about? So then Adam posted in the No Rolls Barred Discord yesterday, the one that you get for backing on Patreon. He posted the thumbnail for the episode. So me being a sneaky boy, I posted the thumbnail to my friends to be like, this is going up tomorrow. And they were like, oh my God. Because I'm on the thumbnail. So yeah, it's very good. So then they were like, oh my God, can't wait to watch that tomorrow. And I'm like, I can't believe you guys watch Clock Tower. This is so weird. yeah, that's pretty cool. So I'm excited for them to see it. But you'll be happy to know, Tempest, we're talking about Rampage first on this podcast. We're going to be talking about, oh my God, it's going to be Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley. Ah, it's a thing we were going to get before, but then we didn't get it, but now we're going to get it. Yay. Let's talk about that very exciting thing and everything else on Rampage and also then SmackDown. So let's talk about it. Oh my goodness. It looks like we're getting Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley because of what happened on Rampage. Hot damn! That feels like a big deal. That's awesome. Hell yeah, we're leading with Rampage this week because Rampage was really friggin' good. So we're going to lead with that because it was fun and we want to have fun on this show. Welcome to the Rust Talk Podcast Review.
You know how we have fun on this show? We cut SmackDown. We don't put it at the end.
We will still be talking about SmackDown just later. Welcome to the Rust Talk Podcast Review of Rampage and SmackDown. I am Chubba P. Cornell. I'm joined by my intangible co-host, Tempest. Get in your ultra chats at wrestletalk.com/support if you have any thoughts and feelings about this episode of Rampage or about SmackDown or about anything in wrestling or not in wrestling. I don't care. You have feelings on NFTs, let us know. Don't talk about NFTs. I hate them. Anyway.
Peanut butter and pickle sandwiches.
Yeah, much better. We'll talk about that instead. Got thoughts on Too Fast, Too Furious? Let us know.
Forget about it, cuz.
Hold on. Got to play it now. You said it.
I said forget about it, cuz.
So good.
He's the whitest man ever.
Who let him say that?
I have no idea.
Right.
I need to know if that was improvised or if that was written for him.
If it was written, who wrote it?
Yeah, I think that's worse.
I think that was written because, you know, it's a very purposeful zoom in on him as he's saying the line shot. So I think that's got to be written, right? Though maybe the cur was improv. I don't know.
So wild. I would so rather talk about that than SmackDown.
I know, right? Anyway, we've got to talk about Rampage first. Let's talk about a good thing. Because we had, firstly, to kick this show off, we had the return match for Jon Moxley. Also, I just mentioned to Tempest just before we went live that I noticed that I actually didn't make any notes at all for Rampage because I just put on the episode and I just kind of watched it. So, yeah, I don't actually have any notes about Rampage at all, but... you know, that's fine. I just enjoyed the show too much to make notes. Great. We had Moxley versus Trent Beretta. Nope, that was later. We had Moxley versus Ethan Page for this match, which was a bunch of fun. It was really cool to see Moxley back. He looks great. He looks really good.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Huh? It's ridiculous. He walked out for his return promo, and Dean Ambrose walked out. Like, he looked 10 years younger, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't know, I guess you don't realize how much people change over the years when you're just kind of watching them week to week, but then they disappear for 3 months and have a drastic change. And it's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But he looks incredible. He looks like he's in incredible shape.
Mm-hmm. Really, really good. And he and Paige had a pretty fun match. Nothing too crazy or anything about it, but I thought it was good fun. I think commentary put over the story quite well of just like, you know, Moxie's been away for a little bit and he's undergone a huge, like, you know, muscular change. You can see he's in great shape and stuff. And Taz put over a great point of being like, you need to get used to using that body now. Your body has changed. You need to get used to using that. He's been away for months. Paige has been here wrestling the whole time. So, like, a little bit of ring rust from Mox. Was really, really good. Really effective story, I thought. But Mox managed to do the bulldog choke in the end and choke out Paige. Thought this was a really fun match. Good stuff.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoy just the different combinations of guys from this roster that I wouldn't necessarily think of, mm-hmm. you know, just because this roster is so expansive at this point. There's so many guys so that you put down Ethan Page versus Jon Moxley on paper and I go, ooh, I didn't think of that one. That mm-hmm. one's fun, you know, yeah. And I like that when they're signing guys over the course of like a year, not everyone is going to be the Bryan Danielsons, the Adam Coles, the CM Punks, like the immediately they slot into the main event level guys. I like they are going out there and signing people like Ethan Page who can come in and slot in kind of in the middle and can work his way up because you can still have these guys that you sign that are stars, but they can come in and lose to the guys like Jon Moxley and have it not hurt them. I really, really, really like that sort of thing. I just love the structure of the AEW roster. And yeah, this match was like really fun. It was just fun energy. And of course, maybe that was just seeing Jon Moxley back because he's mm-hmm. one of the guys that I've really been missing. I think the show has been a little bit lacking without him, Kenny Omega, and Miro on a regular basis. But having him back, I was just like, oh, he's still my heart. The show is it's like a tick up. It's another mm-hmm. it's another upswing for Rampage and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing that we're actually going to be talking about here, our first opening talking point, is what happened after this match, where Moxley delivered a paradigm shift to Page after the match, started walking out through the crowd. And as he does so, Bryan Danielson walks up next to him. Moxley kind of turns around and suddenly Danielson's in his face and he's just politely just clapping him, applauding him for his performance in the match. And the two just stare down. And then Moxley just walks off. And you mentioned this in your edited review as well. Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley feels so big time compared to what Daniel Bryan versus Dean Ambrose ever would have been, right? Mm-hmm. This feels like a huge deal. And obviously this was supposedly going to be the finals of the Eliminator tournament that we were originally supposed to have, which got turned into Danielson versus Miro after Moxley ended himself into that alcohol rehabilitation program. So we had to change plans. So this was supposedly what we were going to get at Full Gear. But we're getting it now instead. I would assume at Revolution. I think they're probably going to build till then, right? Because that's the beginning of March, I believe. So we've got like just over a month to build that. So now they've done the hook. Not that hook. He's coming later. They've done the hook of the story, and they've kind of like just like done the feelers of just being like, oh, piqued my interest on that one. They've not done any building to the match yet, but they've just done the initial stare down to make people go, oh, that's the way we're going. Get excited, yeah. Which is a great way to start this thing off. They don't need to do anything drastic just yet. They've just set things up. Two ships kind of passing in the night for now, but now the ship's going to turn around. They're going to start colliding, and it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited for this. I think it's going to be a fantabulous feud.
I am very excited for this as well. Just, it's so fun. I love seeing Bryan Danielson wrestle people with different styles, you know, because each of his matches, like, he'll go out there and he'll wrestle someone like Minoru Suzuki. He'll wrestle a Kenny Omega. He'll wrestle an Eddie Kingston. And he'll wrestle Miro. And all these matches will be completely different from one another just because of how different each man's style is. And Moxley's another one who fits right into that mold where he's a brawler. He's got a different style from just about anybody on the roster. And that's just very exciting to me. I'm really looking forward to this match. Like I said in my edited review, it's just like otherworldly, next level comparison to where Daniel Bryan and Dean Ambrose would have been compared to where this match is. Like, this is a big time match. This could be like one of the big matches that AEW puts on all year when you look at it. Because how often do you get like the two really top level stars facing each other on pay-per-view? A lot of the time it's like Kenny Omega is facing Pac and Orange Cassidy on pay-per-view. Like, they aren't all tippy top level guys. These are two tippy top level guys, and that's very exciting to me. Because In addition to this match just being fantastic, I know it's going to be treated like a big deal.
And also something that's very interesting for me is the fact that supposedly, you know, I believe the reports were that Moxley was going to win the Eliminator tournament to start with and be Hangman's first challenger after the Eliminator tournament. Presumably, they were doing that kind of heel turn they were playing up with him and Kingston before. But now, obviously, Danielson won, has now turned heel, sort of, or more revealed himself to be a heel the whole time, more realistically. And now, obviously, Moxley's a huge babyface because he's come back from this whole rehab thing, right? So now, like, the heel-face dynamics have swapped from where they would have been at full gear. So I don't know how that's going to play into the match either. Like, this is all so interesting to me, and it's really... I'm so curious to see how this match is going to play out. I'm so excited. Like you said, Danielson just wrestling a bunch of different guys with a bunch of different styles. He's put on classic matches with so many different people so far. And obviously he's faced top talents, guys like Hangman and Kenny and stuff like that already. But he's also faced guys like John Silver, which was a bloody brilliant match. Yep. And now you get another huge top name like Moxley, especially if they get the big stage like Revolution to put it on. This is going to be potential match of the year contender, I reckon. I think this could be an absolutely fantastic match.
Honestly, and it's funny because anytime that Bryan Danielson goes to the ring for like a match in a main event position, I was like, well, this could be a match of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's Kenny or Minoru Suzuki or Eddie Kingston, or I thought Miro was going to be a little bit better than it ended up being, but it's still fantastic. But like every time, it's kind of like he has that very high expectation for his work, but he's the kind of guy that lives up to that expectation. Mm-hmm. That's a special kind of performer right
there.
Sure is. You know, yeah. He's like, you know, one of those kind of like Ric Flair in his prime type guys where you hold a standard of you have a 5-star match every time you go out there and you keep doing that. Mm. It's not like you get to that point and it's like, oh, it's a lot of pressure. And then you could dip a little bit. Like, no, Bryan Danielson's like the best wrestler in the world once you ring that bell. So anytime you book him in a big match against the main event guy, I'm there, man. I'm hooked for it.
And one other thing I just wanted to mention before we get into some of your Ultra Chats here as well, is the fact that I really enjoyed that this happened on Rampage. Because as we've been saying for a while now, Rampage just feels like the B show. Nothing really happens. It's a bunch of fun wrestling. But the actual story elements really happen on Dynamite. But they put Moxley on Rampage to have his return match. Cool. And then you get this initial interaction with Danielson, actually like something of substance, which is fantastic. Makes Rampage feel important again. This is the kind of stuff. It doesn't have to be anything earth-shaking, you know. This isn't a huge, you know, angle of the year or anything like that. It's just two guys having a stare down, but that's exciting enough. That's substance enough for me to make Rampage feel important. So it's this kind of stuff that they need to keep doing to make Rampage not feel like the B show. And I think they did a great job of it this week.
Yeah, it's a moment where a lot of the time on Rampage, if you miss a match, it's not that big a deal because it's a match. A lot of the matches that they have, even if they're great, don't really play into the storylines that they're telling. You know, like if you miss Adam Cole versus John Silver, you're missing a fun time, but are you really going to be lost when it comes to the storyline of Adam Cole and Best Friends and everything? Probably not, you know? So it makes Rampage feel a little bit missable. But when you have like the beginning of a feud just neatly slipped into this show, that becomes something that you will need to see. And it becomes something that you need to then go out of your way to see. Because again, it's not huge, it's not earth-shattering, but it's chapter one of whatever they're doing next. And those are the chapters that you need to see. So I hope that there's more than this. I think this was a very nice touch.
Absolutely.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's, I haven't opened the Ultra Chat document. I should probably do that. But let's get into some of your ultras here. Keep sending those in to wrestletalk.com/support, and we're going to read out all the ones that are $5 or up by the time the show goes off the air. Charles Berg donates to say, looking forward to Moxley versus Danielson, although I expect it to be a very bloody affair, like uncomfortable amounts. In a way, Hook does Orange Cassidy better than Orange Cassidy. Unbothered, constant bedhead, doesn't seem like he is trying. Am I wrong?
I get what you're saying, but I think obviously there's a difference. Like, Hook's not a comedy character and everything, but I know what you're saying.
I understand what you're saying, but he does try.
He does try.
He tries in his matches. He just takes care of business rather than doesn't try, I think.
It's not that he doesn't try. It's that he doesn't care.
Yes, you know, and that's different.
And that's where the thing with Orange Cassidy kind of comes over, because it's like, oh, well, Orange Cassidy doesn't care, so he doesn't try. Hook doesn't care, so he wants to get things done like as quick as possible and just go back so we can open a bag of chips.
Yeah, and then go to a strip club, you know. That's what it does.
As you do.
Lakshmi Narasimhan B says, looks like I freaking called it on Dynamite stream. Looks like we're getting Moxley versus Danielson. Yay. An overall good to great show this week. Also really want to see Hook Punk, Hook MJF, Hook Miro, etc., etc. Hashtag jam that jam. Hashtag hook that hook.
Hook that hook.
Hook that hook.
Absolutely. In time, I want to see all of those matches. I want to see Hook face everybody.
Yeah. Hook is great.
And win the title. and win the title.
Okay, so do you think, going off your fantasy booking, which if you guys haven't heard, if this is your first podcast that you're ever listening to from us, firstly, hi, like and subscribe. Tempest fantasy booking of Hook is that you will never get an opportunity like this again to have the shock rookie victory win the world title. A guy that is so over, I would argue one of the most over guys on the AEW roster right now, which is,
I think so,
bonkers to say, but he is.
Mm-hmm.
You will never get an opportunity like this again to have the shock rookie win and put the world title on him, unless you do it soon with Hook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, it obviously wouldn't be as big of a shock because it wouldn't be the world title, do you think that could still work for the TNT title?
No.
No?
I think for this story, it needs to be the world title. Because I think that's shocking.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can put the mid-card title on a guy if he's new. Because...
Mm-hmm.
You're not right. I want it to feel like we're putting our chips in on this. Like it's all a risk.
And a bag of chips in.
All that and a bag of chips. Yes.
Mm.
You know, it's like, I want them to be like, hey, we're swinging here. We're taking a big swing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your world champion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have that same effect with the TNT title. I think he could do really well with the TNT title, and I'm not saying like, oh, it needs to be my way or it's not going to work. But man, I just think it would be really cool.
Would be, no. We'll do one more Ultra Chat here because I've just seen Mayor of Painesville Dan has come in to just put the lyrics to Chairman's Intent, which is Hook's theme song. It says, yeah, and then brackets, you don't even know me. Yeah, yeah, ah, you don't even know me. Aha, you don't even know me. It's me, yeah, you don't even know me. Yo, these 16 bars cost 16 cars. Kiss these balls. I'm assuming that's bitch, we stars. It says censored word, that censored word, so I'm just going to say jam that jam. You ain't hot like Prince.
I was about to say, did Sean Ross Sapp send this in? Did he write the lyrics for this?
Pretty sure those are the lyrics, right? It says jam that jam in it. Pretty sure he does.
I think so.
Hook's
He's a big fan of WrestleTalk.
Hook's a huge fan of WrestleTalk, obviously. We're going to keep reading out these Ultra Chats later on, but first, let's review the rest of the episode of Rampage. So this, the opening point that we talked about was the Moxley Page match. We then got Nick Jackson versus Trent Beretta. God, these guys are good.
Yeah, they are. I really wanted to see Roppongi Vice and the Young Bucks. Like, if that match is on this show, this might have been, like, the best episode of Rampage ever. And keep in mind, I still thought that this match, this singles match, was like the best thing on the show and like was fantastic and everything. But oh, I would have just swooned over that tag match.
Yeah, man. God. For some reason, I don't know why, I keep forgetting how good the Young Bucks are.
It's because they're not like, the focus of the show anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I notice this every time. Like, they're not the main narrative focus of AEW right now. Because it's on other things. There are other things that are more important right now than the Elite. But they're still, like, the best tag team. So anytime they go out there, they're just like, oh my god, they're amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, I don't know that. I don't know why, because I know I know they're great. And if someone said like, who's the best tag team in the world, I'll be like, probably the Bucks. Like they're up there, right? So I know they're great, but just at the start of this match, you know, they're doing a few like back and forth bits, and then Nick Jackson with an just unreal speed, just bop, 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 up the turnbuckle, flipped off, and did like a corkscrew into an arm drag, and I was like, Jesus Christ, like this guy's so good, like. It's just unreal. Like, these guys are unbelievably talented. I'm a huge fan of Trent as well. I've been a huge fan of Trent forever. I love that guy. And this match got so good. There were so many great near falls. Mm-hmm. And as you touched on in your edited review on the main WrestleTalk channel as well, because this wasn't the Young Bucks wrestling, the fans were unsure what the finish was going to be. Because they were like, okay, there's a Swanton to the outside onto the ramp, and then he gets him back in and hits a 450. That's got to be the finish. 1-2 kick out, and everyone went, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Was awesome stuff. And Trent got a win. Yeah. Trent beat him. Oh, this was a fantastic match. Crowd came alive towards the end of it as well. This is really good.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea that the Young Bucks are the best tag team, but they don't win their singles matches.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. I like that they are what they are because they're a team.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a cool little dynamic to it. And yeah, I'm really happy that Trent got a win. And I think it's really fun when you can have a match like this, when you can play with the audience a little bit because they don't know what the finish would be. Like with the guy that just doesn't have a set finisher. It's kind of the same way with like Brian Danielson, but obviously you can still lock people in the LaBelle lock or hit the knee and people will pop because they're used to those things being his finish. You don't really have any of that with Nick Jackson by himself. Like maybe if you just hit a big super kick, people might pop for a finish, but otherwise you can just play with people because they're pros and you can make people invested in false finishes because everything could be a big false finish. You don't know what the finish is going to be. Oh, it's really fun pro wrestling. I really enjoy it. And I'm happy to see Trent get a win.
Me too. There was a weird bit right at the start of this match where Trent came out and, you know, he was just being, the rest of the best friends came out with him and they were all wishing him good luck. There was a hug and a fist bump. And then Chris Statland gave him a boop. Wheeler went out for a fist bump and then he went, then just tapped him on the shoulder and said, and didn't give him the fist bump. And then the crowd were like, ooh, like, what was that about, Trent? Huh?
Yeah.
What's going on, Trent?
He kind of bullies Wheeler Yuta on being the Elite a little bit.
Yeah.
And yeah. I feel like that's, I don't know. Once he came back with like the shaved head, I was like, well, he's got to be breaking out and like turning heel at some point, breaking off from this team. Maybe. That's just me speculating. He seems to me like a guy who could be TNT champion at some point,
mm-hmm.
you know, and have just like a really good open challenge workhorse kind of thing. I don't know when that's going to be, but I think when that happens, the turn is him beating up Wheeler Yuta.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah.
Simple storytelling. You plant the seeds now. This could be like 9 months from now, but I'll remember it. Mm-hmm. I'll remember this.
Yeah, that was really good. Really, really good stuff. I can't remember what happened next, Tempest, because again, I didn't make notes for the show because I enjoyed it too much.
Hook!
Ah! Hook!
It's Hook!
Ah! I like this guy. Hook.
Yeah.
This match killed was so man. Much fun. Hook versus Serpentico. This Hook is so good. it's so simple and so effective because Serpentico had come out first, but didn't get an entrance. Hook came out, did his entrance. And as they were announcing Serpentico, you know, he does the streamer thing. Hook then just beats him up with the streamers going everywhere. Like they were getting tangled up all in them. And Hook was like, I don't care. I'm just going to kill you. Crowd were molten hot for Hook in this one. They were just chanting his name, Hook's gonna kill you, cheering every single thing he did, and he just did a bunch of takedowns, did some really cool, you know, like overhead throws and stuff like that, and then this time he locked in the red rum but standing and lifted Serpentico off his feet as he held the choke in. That's awesome. Do that more, Hook. That looked really cool. Great stuff. This is wonderful.
Yeah. I love Hook. And it's so funny to me because I don't personally get into like the I follow this wrestler ironically thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If I'm going to get invested in a wrestler, it's going to be because they're a good wrestler, you know, or there's a good promo or there's a good story or something like that. I don't really care about things just being like, yeah, look, there's that Hook kid. He hasn't done anything yet. We're all going to cheer for Hook. I don't care about that. Now that I've seen him have four matches, I'm just like, I'm all in on Hook, man. This kid's got it. This kid has got it. Love it. Absolutely love it. Rampage is the Hook show.
Yeah. Sure is.
This 100% of the time when Hook is on this show, it's a 5 out of 5 show. Because he's on it.
Yeah.
I love it. We thought it was going to be CM Punk's show. It's Hook's show. He needs to win the title on Rampage.
100%, dude.
Oh, let's go.
I love everything about his presentation. It's so good. And afterwards as well, QT Marshall, like he was holding in the choke for a bit. QT Marshall came out and was like, ah, look at this guy beating him before the bell rang, holding the choke for too long. This is what I was talking about. Hook is still trying to walk out at this point, walks past QT Marshall, and Marshall grabs his arm and just like pulls it around. And he's just like, hey, I'm talking to you. And he's like, oh, what? You're not going to do a cheap shot this time. I'm ready this time. And then Hook just picks him up and hits a Northern Light suplex. I really laughed at QT Marshall selling at this. I really enjoyed it when he like picked him up and goes, oh God, no. Like as he picked him up, it was great. Hits the Northern Lights on the stage. And then as he walks out, steps over QT Marshall and the crowd go nuts for it as well. So good. Everything about Hook's presentation is absolutely spot on.
It is. I enjoy it. I don't want to see him like feud with the Factory. But you beat QT Marshall and it's like, oh, you beat his trainer and then you step over that and you keep going. I think that's fine. As long as they don't try and run that one back at all, I think we're going to be just fine. Also, yeah, totally. Breaking news that I've just now checked. Leo Rush has announced his free agency.
Huh.
Which is interesting. He said his contract is going to expire on February 14th and he will become a free agent. Which is peculiar.
When did he sign?
Like September.
Yeah.
It's just odd.
Is that like a 6-month contract?
I don't know. I don't know. I obviously I don't know anything about it, but Leo Rush is Leo Rush.
Yes.
You know, and if he wants to take his career in a different direction, that wouldn't surprise me at all. But yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yep. Huh. Weird.
Yeah. Interesting.
We'll figure that one out later.
I don't remember at what point during the show it happened, but there was a video package from Mercedes Martinez where she started talking about her little feud with Thunder Rosa. I don't know exactly when that match is going to be, but if that's at Revolution, that's another great match to add to this card.
Yeah. Did she mention why she hates Thunder Rosa yet?
No, she was just kind of like, I have my reasons, but I'm not telling you yet.
Okay.
And you know what? When that's like the second time that we've heard from Mercedes Martinez, that's okay. When it's 6 months of a Sonya Deville and Naomi storyline, it's not okay anymore.
We're not talking about this yet, Tempest. We're talking about that later.
Yeah, I know.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited for that match when it does roll around. I don't think that's a Revolution match, personally. I think that is going to be probably some Dynamite sometime.
Could be. I mean, we've got a lot of time between now and then. It just depends on how long they want to stretch that out.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can only have one women's match on pay-per-view as well, right? One women's match per show, right? So it's got to be the Baker match, right?
Clearly.
Yeah. What came after this, Tempest? Help me out here.
It's the main event. There's only so many segments on these shows.
I feel like there was more. I don't know. I had fun. Yeah, and then it was the main event of... I was going to say Jay Lethal because I saw the words Jay Lethal in the chat. I'm like, that's completely wrong. It was Jade Cargill versus Anna Jay. And you know what? When she won the TBS title, I remember saying that, like, I mean, she's a bit green, but I understand why you've put her on there. But she looked like a little bit off in a match with Ruby Soho. Like, things didn't look quite so good. And then she's going in here with a less experienced wrestler than Ruby Soho. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know if this is going to work. God, this match was so good.
Yeah, this was a test, and they both passed.
I was stunned at how good this match was, especially because Anna Jay is also an inexperienced wrestler.
Yeah.
That's wild. But these two put on a great match. This wasn't, you know, perfect by any means, but this was really good stuff. Mm-hmm. Worthy of the main event slot of Rampage. And yeah, I think both of them came out of this looking great. Really, really good stuff from both of them. And like some of like the near falls or the near submissions kind of thing from Anna Jay through the match was really good. You know, the reversing the Jaded to roll through into a roll up, people bought that. And then she locked it in and I was like, oh my God, like Anna Jay's like getting really close to beating Jade Cargill here. Like, I think it worked really well because Cargill looked a bit more beatable than she has in the past, which is always good because you don't want to have that aura of her being like, well, no one can beat me forever. Reigns. You don't want to have that aura forever because then it doesn't feel legitimate that anyone could ever beat him and no one comes close, right? So when you see that he's facing Cesaro, you're like, he's not going to win. Whereas now you're starting to plant the seeds of like, well, she has her flaws. You know, people can beat her in this way and the other way. This did a great job of showcasing, one, Anna Jay changing from the street fight, which is great. That kind of influencing her character development. Cargill looking a little more beatable, but a very good, strong TBS champion and not someone that you should take lightly. And they both look good as wrestlers. This achieved so much. This was fantastic.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I really enjoy, again, just the progression of this roster where you can see Anna Jay, who I think had something like 8 matches before showing up on Dynamite for the first time. Yeah. Something like that. Like, she was brand new. Like, brand new, green as grass, but still good, a lot of potential. And you can see her improving, too. You can see her improving. You can see Jade improving. They're now two people who are not the absolute top level of the AEW women's division, but they're climbing. And I just like watching the climb for half of the roster, you know? And you get something like this, where once they reverse the Jaded into the choke the first time, that's where you just kind of like heard the crowd come alive a little bit, where it was like, oh my God, like it was as close to a near fall as Anna got, because her finish is a submission, you know? But they bought it. They bought that as a finish. And I was like, wow. And they just kept going. And it was just a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It's exactly what I want from something like this. You know, like every single time they crown a new champion, you seem to get like the first title defense where the Jurassic Express just beat John Silver and Alex Reynolds. And you don't expect the title to change hands in these matches. But if you have a really good match, that's how you just build a good reign. It's just simple pro wrestling, and I love it so much. I love it so much, and I love seeing people go out there and succeed like this. You know, it's just so much fun watching all of this. Because again, like you said, Jade Cargill, there's a difference between being able to go out there and have a good match with an experienced worker and then go out there and have a good match with someone who is less experienced than you. That to me was always like a big detraction from someone like John Cena, you know, where it's like John Cena can go out there and have a fantastic match with a CM Punk or a Daniel Bryan or a Shawn Michaels or something. But if you put him in the ring with The Miz, the match is going to be terrible, you know, because John Cena was never the guy that could like elevate the not good workers up to having the good match. This was something where Jade Cargill took someone who's very not experienced. I don't want to say that Jade Cargill was like carrying this match or anything, but they still had the really good match. And that to me is a really big test. And I think they both passed with flying colors.
100%. Thought this was a great main event of Rampage and a great episode of Rampage. I genuinely think this is one of the better episodes of Rampage they've ever done.
Yeah,
I don't think anything is going to come close to, obviously, CM Punk's debut. Like, that's going to be the best episode of Rampage probably forever. But, like, as a regular episode of Rampage, this has got to be one of the best ones.
This is top tier. This was so good. For sure. Yeah, this is a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun. 5 out of 5 show. Give me this every week, and I'm a happy lad.
I'm a very, very happy boy. But now, Tempest, we have finished talking about Rampage.
See, this is the problem, because like I don't know what I prefer. Getting the crap out of the way first and closing with Rampage so I can finish the podcast and be like, the rest of my day. Or starting with fun and then be like, okay, let's talk about SmackDown. I'm not letting it get to me today. They're not doing this to me.
We'll make it quick, don't worry.
Yeah.
So SmackDown started with a recap of Rollins and Reigns from last week. The Usos were in the ring. They introduced Roman Reigns and they celebrated his 508-day title reign. Quick question, why didn't they do it last week when it was 501? So he's just passed the 500-day miles. Whatever.
They needed a segment on this week's show.
Yeah. Whatever. Reigns did his very long entrance. It's so long. It's so long. I can't. And then they played a little video package highlighting Reigns' reign, which was cool. It was a nice little
Roman's
thing to show.
Roman's reign.
Reigns' reign is much worse, so we're going with that. then, before he could say anything, Seth Rollins came out. Raw star Seth Rollins came out and said, just like Mox and I did in The Shield, the Usos are your pedestal. And I was like, who the hell is Mox? It's Dean Ambrose.
Who the hell is Bucky? Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. You need to get rid of the brand split, though.
Huh?
They need to get rid of a brand split, though. Raw stars are just running amok.
There was a lot of them on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Seth said he wants to find a tag partner, and if he can beat the Usos tonight, they're banned from ringside at the Royal Rumble. Jay accepts while Roman's thinking about it, and then Roman says, let's up the stakes. If Rollins loses, then he loses his title shot at the Royal Rumble, which I thought was some good stakes. I think, in kayfabe, believable stakes. I don't think anyone bought for a minute that Seth was actually going to lose, because I don't think he was going to lose his title shot. But I think it was solid stakes that they put on this one. And I literally wrote, I was like, I can't believe they've dropped the dynamic of the Usos and Roman, that they're just his cronies now with no more to it.
Not quite.
But then,
what?
When Jay said, I was like, I literally wrote, I can't believe they've dropped the ball on this. And then Jay accepted on Roman's behalf, and Roman was like, what? I was like, oh, they're picking it back up again. Great. Thank God.
Not only that, because there was another moment that I picked up on here that I really enjoyed, where Seth says that, like, Roman, you're not the cornerstone of the bloodline. The Usos are. And behind Roman, like, Roman's like, angry face. And behind him, you've got Jimmy going like, yeah. Usos, we're the cornerstone. But then you have Jay, and he's just like looking at Roman like wide eyes. But it picks up on everything from like last year, where Jimmy was the one who was like, yeah, Usos, we're the best tag team. And Jay's like, nah, man, Roman for the family. You know, that sort of thing. I don't know if they're gonna do anything with that, but I saw that and I was like, haha, subtlety. I like that. I think it's the only thing I liked on the show, but yep. I liked it when they do something right. It's really right.
Yeah. I thought that this was a very effective opening segment. It was Kevin Owens, by the way. That's his tag partner, obviously.
Yeah.
Rollins and Owens are a tag team now, so that makes sense. Owens came out. Raw star Kevin Owens came out. And that was that. I thought this was a very effective opening segment. It did not need to be this long. It was a long opening segment.
I think it was 18 minutes by the end. Which did is just like... You know, play the video package in the middle of the show.
Mm.
Not in the opening segment. You don't need it.
Yeah.
If you take out the video package, this segment is not any worse.
Mm.
That and I don't need to watch an entrance of someone to come out and introduce Roman Reigns. You know, start the show with the Usos in the ring, or start the show with all of them in the ring.
Yep.
You can have them be like, introduce him and then just hand him the mic with them all standing in the ring, and you cut like 5 minutes out of this show. It's easy. It's not hard, guys.
Yeah. Then we got... okay. So I liked this opening segment. I thought it was good. Not great by any means, but it was good. and I liked the main event match. It had its issues, but I liked the main event match as well. I thought it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Everything else on this show sucked and sucked hard. So last week we had Kofi Kingston versus Madcap Moss. Madcap Moss won clean. This week we had Kofi Kingston versus Madcap Moss. Kofi won clean.
These people have no idea what they're doing. I don't want to get worked up today because my head hurts. And if I saw people saying I look like I'm wearing a cape, I'm wearing a heated beanbag because my neck hurts. I woke up today and my neck really hurt. I do not have the energy to get really fired up, but this show, like, was awful. This show was a rerun. As soon as I saw Sean Ross Sapp report on Fightful Select that this show is going to have like four rematches and a Sonya Deville segment, I was just like, "Well, that sounds terrible."
Yeah.
And sure enough, it was terrible.
Yep, sure was. But this time, Tempest, it was slightly different. Not only did Kofi win this time, he was accompanied by Raw star Big E.
Yeah.
So it's completely different.
Oh, boy, he doesn't feel like WWE champion anymore.
No, and my hope was that he was going to win the Rumble. I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah.
I'd like to see it. I still think it's possible, but I also think it's segments like this where they're putting him with Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss where they look at him and be like, oh, well, he's not over anymore.
Yeah.
Like, well, whose fault is that, WWE?
Totally. I will say as well, I think that Moss has potential as a wrestler. I think his in-ring work wrestler. Is decent. I think he's got a cool moveset. I think he has a good look. It's just that his character is very dumb and very ass.
It's the dirt worst. He's out there making Garth Brooks references. Yeah. And they can't understand why they can't attract younger viewers.
Wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Big E hits a big ending on Moss after the match as well. We then get a rerun of Natalya versus Aaliyah, which is also last week, if you're keeping count of that. That's two matches that we've had from last week that we're doing again. And WWE legend Summer Rae is in the crowd.
Popped me so big.
Yep.
WWE legend Summer Rae. I counted on TV and pay-per-view. She's won seven matches ever. Ever. I'm talking Raw, SmackDown, and one pay-per-view. I think it was like Hell in a Cell 2013 or 14. I think like she and Fandango beat like Layla and somebody or whatever. Seven matches on Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-view. WWE legend.
I did not know it was that low. Oh my God.
Yep.
That's amazing. And I've seen that, you know, people shouldn't come after Summer Rae for that. This is not Summer Rae's fault. This is WWE announcing her as such, right? And I've seen people criticizing Summer Rae and be like, you're not a legend. It's like, well, leave her alone. It's not her fault.
She didn't play the role of a legend. They're just calling her a legend.
They just called her a legend. Which is, I feel like we can say, objectively incorrect.
Right? Which, I don't really want to get into it. Because there are a lot of, like, diva stans on Twitter.
Yeah, of course there are. Yeah.
Right? Who are just convinced that if you spent any time in WWE, you're a legend. Like, there are people who think Oksana was a legend. Or name any woman's wrestler from 2005 to 2016, they're a legend. Rosa Mendez, WWE legend. It's just like, I'm sorry, no. I disagree heartily.
Yes. Anyway. She was in the crowd watching how well the women are treated in this era compared to her era.
So well with this Natalya and Aaliyah match. Oh, God.
So Natalya kicked Aaliyah a lot and didn't stop kicking her. And then the referee counted to five and then she didn't stop kicking her. And then this is the bit that broke me, right? I was already annoyed at that finish because what's the point? It wasn't built up to in any way. She didn't get, like, Aaliyah didn't do anything particularly to piss her off. She just kicked her a lot and then just kept kicking her for no reason. The bit that really broke me afterwards was Natalia looking shocked about it afterwards. Yep. It's like, you are the most tenured women's wrestler on the roster right now. You know how DQs work. You can't play dumb about this, Natty. This is
terrible.
Very stupid.
It's the dumbest finish, the getting DQ'd for kicking too much ass finish.
Yeah.
And then to be like, what?
Mm.
Just piss off.
Yeah.
And I get it. And it's like the wins and losses thing. I don't really consider this along the same lines, but to have Aaliyah afterwards being like, yeah, I won. I was like, you're such a loser. Yeah. You're such a geek. You got your ass beat for 2 minutes and you're like, yay, I won.
Yeah. And the thing is, WWE always tell us, and they've said themselves, that wins and losses don't matter, right?
Yeah.
So if they don't matter, why do they care about announcing that Aaliyah won? And why is she like, yay, I won? Why does it matter? Because wins and losses don't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it only matters when they say it matters. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's whatever.
I like the people bringing up random names from the Divas era. It's like, are they a legend? Like Cherry. WWE legend Cherry. Who I think had like 2 matches on TV.
Yep.
Yeah.
Xia Li came down. There was a post-match beatdown. Xia Li came out and did a kick.
Mm-hmm.
Singular.
She came out and I was like, hey, you still exist.
Yeah.
I thought they'd given up on you.
Yeah, so did I. So that was nice to see her back. I think what's going to get her over, though, is actually wrestling.
Yeah.
Like doing something impressive, you know? Because so far she's come out and she has a cool entrance that people like, which I don't, but people like it, and that's totally cool. We can have different opinions. And if that's going to get her over, great. But I think she actually has to follow up on that cool entrance to do something cool in the ring. Even if she just hit one cool move on Natty here, I think that would be enough as like a stepping stone to get her over. But she did a kick. One. That's it.
Yeah.
Like a normal kick.
You know what the problem is with the entrance, though? Is that the entrance isn't cool in person. Because there's no special effects.
I agree.
So you can't like expect someone to get over with an entrance if the entrance live is lame. You know, it would be like if the Undertaker's entrance was 100% special effects and just graphics and everything, and then he's in the ring. Like, that's not cool in person because it's just he's there. You know, I don't know. I agree. They need to do more with Xia Li. You still got time. You still got time with her.
Pat McAfee really, really leaned into the stupendous tagline of WrestleMania. Michael Cole. Yeah, I think they're now realizing that they've overdone the stupendous thing. So now they're really leaning into it as a joke, which is fine. And he like brought out a dictionary and just read through all the synonyms of stupendous.
Why didn't he bring out a thesaurus?
Yes.
What a thesaurus. He brought out the wrong book.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. That's not what a dictionary's for. Oh God, this is great. He was funny though. He made Michael Cole laugh, and that was cool. He slammed the dictionary down in front of Cole, and that was funny. So after the Viking Raiders pinned Los Lotharios last week to become number one contenders, they then face Los Lotharios here, and then they beat him. Cool. That was the whole match. Don't have any more to say. Yeah. I do have something to say about the next thing though, which was Naomi versus Charlotte Flair in a championship contenders match.
Your favorite.
And Sonya Deville came out before the match started and made herself the special guest referee for this match. And now correct me if I'm wrong, because I believe I was off for this episode. She's done this before, right? Where she's made herself the special guest referee for
Naomi and Shayna last year. Naomi and Shayna, she was a special referee.
So she's done this exact thing before, and also Naomi has had a championship contenders match with Charlotte Flair before as well, a few weeks back, whenever that was, right? 2-3 weeks ago? So, already, we already know Naomi's not going to win, because Charlotte's already entered herself into the Rumble. So, we know that Naomi won't get a title shot anyway, because she's already in the Rumble. Deville comes out before the match starts, and you go, okay, great, this is going to be screwy. Awesome. The commentators then say during the match, we still don't know why Sonya has it in for Naomi. Which one is it? Because
they don't know.
Technically, last week, Sonya told us that it's because she waltzes in her office with her main character vibes when everybody knows she's just an extra. That's a direct quote. Which to me doesn't make any sense, but it's a reason. It's a bad reason. It's a very bad reason, but it's a reason. But then they're just like, well, we don't know. And it's like, well, do you or don't you? Figure it out. And if you don't know, maybe you should have figured that out before you started this bloody feud.
Yeah, or any time in the last 6 months.
Yeah, just at any point. Any time now.
Oh, would be God. Great.
There was a point where Sonya gets knocked out of the ring. And then Naomi hits the rear view onto Charlotte and then gets a very, very long count against her. Like she would have won quite decisively with the rear view on Charlotte Flair. But of course, Sonya doesn't count. She then comes back in as Naomi looks annoyed. Charlotte does a figure four onto Naomi. And she doesn't tap, but then Sonya calls for the bell anyway. It's the Nashville screw job, everybody. And then Charlotte continues and puts in the figure eight as well afterwards.
Montreal was 25 years ago.
I don't care.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to pay off. I just want to delete this whole thing.
Yeah.
Move Naomi to Raw, which I guess doesn't matter, but it means I don't have to see it.
Yeah.
Just, I don't want to see it anymore. I'm over it. It has, the whole thing is go away heat.
Yeah. And unfortunately for you, Tempest, they announced later on that it's going to be Naomi versus Sonya Deville next week on SmackDown, which I'm sure will have a clean finish.
Sure.
Yeah. Definitely will, with no possible way of anything going wrong.
We've had a Naomi and Sonya match scheduled for TV.
Yep.
Where they're like, oh, next week we're getting Sonya Deville versus Naomi. That was like 4 months ago, and we haven't gotten it.
And that became a handicap match, right?
It became a handicap match with Shayna Baszler.
Wow.
I think this is the most frustrating rivalry I've ever seen. We have run out of heel segments. And we are just repeating them now.
Yeah.
We've done the heel referee thing already.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing here? How are we still at square one? I feel like I make this rant every week, but goddamn, we've been stuck at square one for 6 months.
Yep.
Jiminy Christmas.
And the thing is, Sonya doesn't have to say immediately, you know, this is why I don't like you, Naomi, right? Because you can have that be part of the story of Naomi can be trying to figure out. It can be like a little bit of a mystery to be like, what have I done wrong to piss her off? And she could be going around and trying to figure out and like speaking to other people and being like, what have I done to piss off Sonya Deville? It can be part of the story of Naomi trying to figure out Sonya's motivations, right? But that hasn't happened because what's happened is that they've just not said because they don't know. And then they've just said, well, we still don't know, for 6 months. Yeah. And that's it. That's the whole story. It's very stupid.
It's so dumb. Yeah. This is the dumbest thing. Yeah. You know? And like every... I keep seeing the thing that I keep thinking on Twitter. And I never want to say it on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to go down a certain rabbit hole here, but there's a very specific kind of person on these shows that Sonya has continued to be terrible to.
Yep.
It's one referee, it's one women's wrestler, and occasionally Sasha Banks. What do those people all have in common?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's where WWE's going.
No.
Because, oh man, after this week, that'd be real bold.
That would be very bold.
Getting real big Triple H Booker T vibes off of this, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Nope.
Me also, neither. She wasn't wearing the goddamn jacket in this segment. Just beat her ass. I don't get it. We've established that the jacket is her force field of protection.
Mm.
Naomi is such a wuss. She's the worst baby face that I've ever seen. To go 6 months with this level of restraint, I would have lost my job 2 weeks in. What are we doing here? Oh, Lord.
So you're not going to get worked up today, Tempest, right?
No. They pull it out of me. They pull it out of me. Oh, Christ. Why did you bring like, in Eric Bischoff to settle this?
Yeah, also Eric Bischoff was there in this backstage segment. He was there. He offered nothing. What I do like is Owens and Rollins together. They cut a fun little backstage promo. Mm-hmm. I think they're good. Their dynamic's very good. I like him as a tag team. Do more of them. They're great. To keep your checklist going of things that happened last week, but this week again, slightly different. In Zayn was next. It's Sami Zayn who said, you know, before Johnny Knoxville made it in Jackass, what he really got famous for was testing self-defense products, but on himself. So that's what I'm going to do. Here's all these self-defense things. Look, I've got this like taser. I'm going to shock myself. There were some really, really bad sound effects accompanying this one. Where he was pretending to be shocked by this thing. Johnny Knoxville came out and was like, hey, here's your problem. It's not turned on. So then he turns it on and then he pretends to actually shock Sami Zayn, who then sells it a lot. But the sound effect is like the stock electric sound from like 80s movies. Yeah. That's the sound effect they had for this one. That one. Yeah. It was real bad.
You know, has no one in WWE ever seen like a taser used before?
No.
You don't just go, ow, and fall on the ground.
No.
And I know that this is a baby show for babies. This segment just broke me. I was like, this is a bad kid's show. It's not even a kid's show. It's a bad kid's show.
Mm.
You know? Would it be that much to just zap them one time? You know,
well, Tempest, though, the thing is, surely that would count as self-mutilation, and WWE don't do that.
You know, when you're right, you're right. When you're right, you're right. But like, come on, could we not have at least zapped Johnny Knoxville? He's used to it.
Yeah, that'd be his thing, right?
If you're going to have a segment with a cattle prod, I want someone getting zapped. Yeah. I don't want sound effects.
God, it's so
this is a very easy way to get around that problem. It's just don't have a cattle prod.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Johnny Knoxville threw him over the top rope afterwards as well. Whoop-de-doo.
Which but is the only build to the Royal Rumble match we got on this show.
Yep. Apart from the Kofi Kingston versus Madcap Moss match where the commentator said, well, all four of these guys are in the Rumble. That's it.
Sure.
That's the build.
Yeah.
We then got let's continue this checklist going, by the way. Sheamus versus Ricochet again, where Sheamus won clean again. Slight difference this week, Ridge Holland was also there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wasn't slight that difference. A wasted return considering the entire thing of Sheamus and Ricochet has been built around Ridge Holland getting his nose broken by a Ricochet? So you'd have thought that they'd have brought Ridge Holland back to actually exact some revenge on Ricochet, but he didn't because it was just Sheamus doing it twice and Ridge Holland offered nothing of substance. What is the point?
Imagine someone comes up to you and just be like, book the 4 weeks of TV ahead of the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you write. It's appalling.
Yeah.
There's no reason this show should be this bad. There's no reason for it.
Also, the chat has just reminded me that Johnny Knoxville is now qualified to be in the Rumble was the quote. Yeah. He's technically he's still in the Rumble, I'm pretty sure.
He still hasn't qualified. He keeps showing that he is qualified.
So good. they showed the 2K22 trailer, by the way. It looks like a 2K game.
It's a commercial.
Great.
They showed a commercial in the middle of the show.
Yep. It's fine, whatever. And then we had Boogs and Nakamura backstage. Yep. They're walking along doing their own thing and Rick Boogs does in the most like You know, like really bad, like 80s or 90s commercials with children that can't act, right? Mm-hmm. Or like extras from the original Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie.
I was just going to say that. Right? It's Spider-Man.
It's Spider-Man. It was literally like Rick Moose being like, it's Jeff Jarrett. And he points over there. It's Double J. It's Jeff Jarrett over there. And he's like 2 feet away from him. It was so funny. And he comes in and that. I don't think they intended for that to be funny, by the way, just throwing it out there. It was, I think it was supposed to be a bit more serious, but I found it hilarious. Hey, it's Jeff Jarrett. And then they said, it's J-A-R-R-E-T-T, whatever. Fine. And then he said, what's your name? And he goes, oh, my name is Rick Boogs. He goes, oh, can you spell that? And then the segment ends.
They couldn't say, is his name R-I-K-K or is it R-I-C-K?
R-I-C-K.
That's lame.
Yeah.
Should be R-I-K-K.
He's got two K's next to each other. He's not Bron Breakker. Jesus.
I suppose not. R-I-K-K-B-O-O-G-Z. Rick Boogs.
It's S as well. It's not Z.
What is wrong with this show? I'm trying here. God damn. You're going to have a man named Rick Boogs. And you can't even put a Z on the end of his name? What's the point?
I love that. That's the thing that broke you. What is wrong with this show?
What an ass. I'm trying here. Just call him Eric Bugenhagen again. Spell that name on TV, Rick.
Oh God.
Oh Lord.
So good. Anyway, Jeff Jarrett was there. Whoop-de-doo. But then we got the main event. I really liked the main event. It was the Usos versus Rollins and Owens. I'm not going to talk about it long because we've already overrun on this show. I thought it was a really fun match. Lots of really good action. It built to a really good climax. Lots of like loads of near fall stuff like that. Big like pop-up powerbomb from Owens. Lots of like good stuff between Rollins and I think it was Jimmy that was in the ring. Really good stuff. Seth hits the stomp, but before he can get the pin, Roman Reigns comes out and hits Superman punch for a DQ. Not a huge fan of the DQ finish. I understand that was a way to protect the Usos to not get pinned and also have Seth win. I don't know how else you would have booked around that. Don't book the match in the first place is what I'd say. But if you were going to book the match, this is probably the best finish you could have done to protect everyone involved. Because Seth, technically, it didn't change the result. You know, it wasn't like we wrestled for 20 minutes and nothing came of it. Like the result would have been the same, but just Roman was protecting the Usos and he only did it after he knew the Usos were going to lose. So it's not the worst DQ finish I've ever seen. But you either could have had, similarly to like on Rampage, where, you know, Nick Jackson lost because he's a tag team wrestler in a singles match. You could have had Seth, who's a singles wrestler, against one of the Usos, who's a tag team, and you can have Seth win.
And I quite like that, actually. I think that's a much better idea.
Yeah. And then he can actually win, and then that'd be that. So, Usos barred from ringside at the Royal Rumble. Cool. That was a fun end.
I mean, I like that stipulation. Because in theory, it should mean that we're just going to have a straight match and it's going to be good and there's going to be no shenaniganery. And I like that. I prefer that. I don't know why Roman wouldn't come out there and like punch one of the Usos and get the other side DQ'd so Seth just loses the title, similar to how Punk did the thing to MJF on Dynamite a couple weeks ago where he punched or hit the opponent and everything. You know, it's all right. It's not the worst DQ finish I've ever seen, but a DQ finish is still worse than a regular finish. That's my thought process on it.
Yes, I agree with that.
You got to work real hard to make a DQ finish like good, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a handful of times where that's happened. It's like Steve Austin, Kurt Angle, and that might be the end of the list.
I'm still looking forward to Rollins versus Reigns.
Oh, I think
it's going to be a good match at Rumble.
Yeah.
And looking forward to that. So that's good. And this did make me more excited for the match. I think it actually helped build the match a lot more. So I liked that part of it. It's just that everything else on the show sucked. I was very generous in my edited review because I just kind of picked a number. I didn't really think about it. I was like, I enjoyed the start and the end. Those are the two most important parts of the show. 3, but it's kind of more of a 2. It's close to being a 1. If the Rollins,
this is a 1 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, if the Rollins,
I like the line in the first promo. You know,
yeah,
I liked one line in the first promo, and I enjoyed the main event, but not enough to sit through Natalya and Aaliyah and and all this. And in Zayn, at least he said, "I'm Sami Zayn. Welcome to SmackAss this week." You know, at least he said that.
SmackAss.
Welcome to SmackAss. It's
yeah.
Show would be a 2 out of 5 if it was called SmackAss instead of in Zayn.
Exactly right. Should we have we got shout outs? I forget.
Yeah, we do,
don't we?
Yep.
Yeah. So before we get into the rest of your Ultra Chats, last chance to send in your Ultra Chats to WrestleTalk.com/support. We firstly have to say thank you to some very special people. Those are our $25 and above pledge hammers on our Patreon page. If you've not been over to our Patreon page, you really should. Now's a great time to become a pledge hammer because not only in the last week have we just uploaded, literally like yesterday and the day before, we've uploaded WrestleTalk After Dark and WrestleTalk Extra. So WrestleTalk After Dark, a bunch of us just chat about nothing for a little while. It's great for like 2 hours. We also have a 3-hour review of Royal Rumble 2004 with Luke and Ollie that went up yesterday. So you can listen to that as well. And next week, there's going to be the Royal Rumble. So you can join in on Wrestle League, which is a new season of Wrestle League. And if you win at Wrestle League in this whole season, you get your own custom jam, that championship belt with your name engraved in it and all that stuff. Very cool. Get involved on Patreon, patreon.com/WrestleTalk. And if you pledge at the $25 or above tier, you get your own custom wrestling nickname and it gets read out on a show, much like this one. So thank you to Ross Pooper Scooper Cooper.
Yeah. WrestleTalk's personal problem solver, Jamie Donovan.
Yeah. He's got two first names, Matt Howard. Yeah.
The man with the scoops, Sean.
General Jimmy G.
Yeah. Par for the course, Zarjeff.
Yeah. What's love got to do with it, Matthew Turner?
Yeah. Got to do with it. Geordie bus driver, Harry. Yeah.
Tower of London, Nigel Morris. Yeah.
Daylight robbery, Rob James.
The Junus Brothers, Junus Hakonin.
Arnie K, the K stands for the coolest dude ever.
Yes, it does. The Baker, Adam Cakebread.
And Too Hot to Handle, Lottie McCullough.
Nah, read it again.
Too Lot to Handle, Lottie McCullough.
Too lot to handle. Right. Thank you very much, all of our pledge hammers. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here. Last chance to get those in. WrestleTalk.com/support. JS Wooten said, Hook is literally from a different reality, and it's insane how he seems bigger than the four damn pillars. He is 2022 Goldberg, and let's hope TK sustains that lightning in a bolt. Lightning in a bolt? Lightning in a bottle better than Bischoff ever did. Win your stuff back, fellas. L-I-W for life.
Hell thank yeah.
You. We will.
Winning that Royal Jamble. Winning that championship.
Hell yeah. I'm going to face each other at Russell Jamia. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Keith Lloyd said, NXT 2.0, we make young stars here. AEW, hold my beer. Accurate.
Yeah. It's unbelievable how much better AEW's development has been than WWE's. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm missing like the $20 million facility that AEW has as a performance center for all this.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like you don't need that. You just need a Jerry Lynn, a Dustin Rhodes, whoever.
Serena Deeb.
You just need a few good minds. God, put William Regal and Fit Finley down there and you'll crank out some wrestlers.
Oh yeah. Kairolo Zachary said CM Punk will dethrone Cody, as Cody is setting up a feud with Punk based on the promo. As for Hook, let him beat all of Team Taz and take the FTW belt. And FYI, Thunder Rosa and Mercedes Martinez had a feud in Warrior Wrestling. Rosa won the match. That is true. They have done that, yes.
I think it would be good
to put that across on TV a bit more. Mm-hmm. If that is going to play into the story. But yes, that is fair. We did mention that.
Yeah. I don't think Punk and Cody are headed towards anything.
I don't think so either.
And can I don't get to talk about Rampage or talk about Dynamite very often. Can I give a possibly a surprising and maybe spicy take? I didn't love the Cody promo.
It's a spicy take.
Felt like a lot of like, I'm just going to say one line from this promo and one line from this promo and one, like, what does CM Punk have to do with anything right now, Cody? What does Jay Lethal have to do with anything? It's just like, I don't know. It's fine, but I don't think he and Punk and Cody are going to like feud next or
no
anytime soon, really.
I don't think so either. Punk Rockin' Soda said, I'm glad we're still firm believers in Hook. I know it's only his fourth win, but you genuinely can't help but be entertained by the way he threw around Serpentico. Also, I consider the step over QT a win. I'll say it again. This kid will be a world champion. I believe so. Barring any extraneous circumstances, I believe so.
Whether it happens this year or not, I think Hook is destined for greatness unless there's some terrible act of God that comes in the way of that.
Totally. Nate S. said, Mox dropped those crucifix elbows like Danielson. I popped for that and then really popped when Danielson showed up at the end. Really liked the main event too. Knew Jade was going to win, but was on the edge of my seat when Anna locked in that Queen Slayer. I agree.
Agree with all of that.
And yes, Mox doing those elbows, well, they looked brutal. They looked great. Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
There was also a bit where he had Paige had Mox in the ropes and was just punching him in the side of the head. And I was like, that looks brutal. That's awesome.
Yeah. I hope he's not just punching him really hard in the side of the head. I hope they're working.
Yeah. To clarify, I hope he's not actually punching him in the side of the head.
Yeah.
They look very good.
Yeah, it's one of those deals where it's like, wow, those look like really good worked punches. Or they're just hitting each other really hard. And I hope it's the former.
Yeah. Talking about WWE now, Lakshmi Narasimhanvi says, haven't bothered with SmackDown for a while now. Saw somewhere that Raw's Big E and KO joined Rollins in SmackDown, and the three even teamed up in a dark match. Who's the face? Who's the heel? Who knows? Who cares? Is Wildcard back? Was it ever officially gone?
No, it's actually the quarterly brand-to-brand invitational Wildcard tournament underground.
So I might have missed it because I don't really listen to commentary that much. Did they mention that it was the Wildcard quarterly invitational?
No, not that I know of. I was trying to pay attention. And as far as I know, they were just kind of like, Big E's here.
Cool. Zoe Sung says, hello, baby faces. That's us. I'm still suffering and cold. Also, I'm shocked to hear WWE NXT 2.0 has terrible women's ratings. I wonder why. So, Gunther. Oh, God. Gunther, the German Pokemon. This Pokemon was the last straw for many people. This Pokemon can't use Google. F water, not what? I don't know what that last sentence means. I agree with the rest of your Ultra Chat, Zoe.
Yeah.
God. Oh, next Ultra Chat from Zoe Sung says, you know, no tea. F water, no tea. You know, tea, water, British water, Walter.
I like that she like immediately sent in another one, knowing that we're going to be like, what?
Yeah. Okay. You know, tea, water, British water, Walter. Anyway, actual chat, them giving Mox that welcome back and treating him like a hero. No angle, no Bruce Pritchard motives. Tempest is right. Bruce is the worst mind in wrestling.
You know, yes, I still agree. I still think that Road Dogg gives him a run for his money.
Oh, Road Dogg's not good, is he?
He's a blithering idiot.
Yeah.
Stimping for a company that fired him. Can you imagine?
Yeah. I'm assuming you're talking in reference to him responding to the WrestleBoats tweet.
I am. Yeah, so he's just like, everything's great with NXT. Ratings don't matter. That doesn't matter. It's like, I don't understand how you could be so dumb. And it's not like this comes out of nowhere. Like, he's been an idiot. Yeah. The thing that measures how well your show is doing doesn't matter at all.
No. Crazy.
Moron.
Riot DR says, I think I've got it. Survivor Series is the only time of the year Raw and SmackDown superstars go head-to-head. The Royal Rumble is the only time of the year they go toe-to-toe. WrestleMania will be blah, blah, face-to-face. LIW for life, Kerr.
You know, if that, I kind of like that. I like that it's all just branding. It's like, no, they go head-to-head at that show. They go face-to-face at this show, and they go toe-to-toe here. It all makes sense, guys.
So good. Also, we mentioned it.
I said, forget about it, cuz.
Oh, it pops me every time.
Nicholas Wong says, how is Charlotte Flair, the champion, and arguably the one who can deliver the big matches on SmackDown Women's Division, forced into this stupid feud with Davila Naomi? She has been Asgard. Other than Banks, no one else is a credible threat to Flair.
It's crazy, because You know who else is on this show? It's Shayna goddamn Baszler.
Oh, crazy that.
Where has she been?
Yeah. You know who else on this show? Naomi, who, if she wasn't in this bloody feud, is actually a legit contender to Charlotte.
Oh, man.
God.
Remember when Toni Storm was on this show?
Crazy, right? And she was involved in pies. Yeah. Isaiah Webb says, I'm super excited because next week I'm going to the Rumble. Nice.
Lucky.
It's going to be my first WWE event. Who do you think will win? Well,
I don't know.
My predictions previously were Big E, and I think Bianca's going to do it two years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be like a returning someone. Could be like an Asuka or a Paige or Lacey Evans or something like that. Could win as a surprise.
Please, no. God, no.
But I don't know. Honestly. And that's exciting for me. I don't know.
Correct answer is Lita. I had a thought last week that it was possible. After she was not on this week's show, I don't think it's happening anymore.
No.
Which is disappointing for me. But Bianca Belair, I think, is a pretty good shout.
Because there is a good story there with Becky, in that Becky's been avoiding get the title back since SummerSlam. There is a story there if they want to use it. Mm-hmm. Which means that Reginald's going to get involved in it somehow. Van Twin Blade says, Roman needs to have a heart-to-heart with Naomi, then have Naomi obliterate Sonya. Yes.
I know they're not going to do that, though. Like,
of course not.
When they do the match, Naomi should just beat her ass senseless for, like, 90 seconds and win.
Yeah.
Like, which no heat, really
like Sonya.
Nothing. Just end her.
Yeah.
The heat has been the last 6 months. Now you just need the comeback and the win.
Yeah. Charles Burke says, so, my last day off was December 11th, 2021. I finally have a weekend to myself. For 41 days straight, I've had 7 to 10 dogs doing daycare each day with 5 to 7 dogs sleeping over. So I've got something to say. Bully Ray owes the apology, not Moxley. Jam that gem. Agreed.
Yeah, you know who else is a goddamn idiot? Is Bully Ray. Yeah. Goodness me.
Scott Woodford says, happy weekend, Chopper and Tempest. Hope you both are well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You too, Scott.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm ending my D&D campaign tomorrow. It's going to be a good weekend, hopefully.
Yeah.
Lakshmi Narasimhan B says, a complete side note with all the trademarks going on. Jam that jam is trademarked, right? Don't want Vince seeing a random crowd sign saying, hey, that's cool. Let's file a TM for it, pal. Also, oh my God, Killer versus Killer, Hook versus Wardlow.
Very interesting. It's crazy. You could put Hook's name next to anybody's name, and I'd be like, yes.
Yeah.
Give me right now. Give me.
Also, top of the list. Basically, if anyone says, I'd like to see this person versus this person, I go, I'm going to raise you one by putting that person against Danielson. Hook versus Danielson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Again, if they did my idea, had him win the title, I want him to beat Danielson for it.
Mm-hmm. Be so good. Be so good.
It's so great.
Perseus M says, great Rampage, meh SmackDown as usual, but I can't wait for the debut of Pete's Legion today. What are your thoughts, Tempest? You were there, I have heard.
I'll let you all see the happenings of all this, but Pete and I may have to have a discussion afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Entirely that's possible. Fair. No spoilers, of course, but Blood on the Clock Tower going live later today on the No Rolls Barred channel, featuring myself and Tempest.
Yeah, we got on Blood on the Clock Tower. It's a lot of fun.
Me on the thumbnail doing the most acting out of anyone on the thumbnail. Come on, guys. Understand the assignment, will you? anyway. Branson Foley says, hey, Tempest, have you been playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel? I believe it's free on all consoles. Also, do you play Duel Links, the mobile Yu-Gi-Oh! Game? Hashtag jam that jam.
I do not play Duel Links. I downloaded Master Duel. I played it for about 15 minutes. It's not for me. It's the same reason that I kind of got out of Yu-Gi-Oh! In the first place. I don't understand synchro summons and link summons and XYZ summons and all that sort of thing. And I played one match against some guy and like I attacked a monster and he like changed 16 different things and summoned an XYZ monster and it did this and that. I was just like, I don't even know what's happening. I'm just being shown stuff on this thing. Like, I don't know how to play this game anymore. That's why I like Legacy of the Duelist, because you could just play through the anime campaign with whatever cards you want, and you don't have to worry about any of that nonsense if you don't want to. That's why I like that game. Give me more games like that.
I understood a lot of the words you just said. Always be scamming says, so Johnny Knoxville qualified to enter the Rumble. No, no, no. He is qualified to enter the Rumble. But could he wind up just showing up in the women's match instead? Please stop having men interfering in the big women's matches. That would be great. Because they've done it a lot. They've done it an awful lot. Please stop that. Also give Hook all the gold and make him the new belt collector. Tempest, have you seen the leaks for Legends Arceus? And finally, you suck.
Oh, well, I don't agree with that. We do not suck. We're fantastic, and we're going to win our matches at the Jam That Jamble. That's not what I keep calling it that. Damn it. It's the Royal Jamble.
Royal Jamble.
Damn it. This is what happens when you have Jamble and two different things on this channel. It's fine. I have not seen any leaks for it, but I'm going to play that game when it comes out.
I have seen the leaks for it, or some of them anyway. I'm not going to give my thoughts because I don't want to say what the leaks are. Legit Underboss says, Boogs, how do you spell that? Forget about it, cuz.
I said forget about it, cuz.
What a perfect way to go off the air.
So something I watched recently, Tempest, if memory serves, correct me if I'm wrong, your favorite Pokemon game is Crystal, yes?
Mm-hmm. I would still say so.
Yeah. Memory. 100.
Yeah.
There's a... Good partner. From this year's AGDQ, there's a Pokemon Crystal race between three people. But it's the key item randomizer.
I'm familiar.
Yeah. So every for the layman, for those listening, every key item you get in the game, so every gym badge, the bike, every HM that you need to complete the game, everything is randomized and at a completely random location somewhere in the game. Have to just go through the game in a completely arbitrary order and just try and get them all, and then beat Red at the end of the game, and then you win. It was so much fun.
That sounds fun.
Loved it, especially because one of the guys running it is probably my favorite runner ever. I want to say favorite speedrunner, Kizaron. Love that guy. So he was one of the ones in the race, and also Shenanigans was in it. I love him as well. He's a great runner. So yeah, it was super, super, super cool. I watched that recently and it was awesome. I think you would very much enjoy it, Tempest. So I'm recommending it.
I think I would as well. I've gotten into, I don't know if I would say like speed running a lot more lately since we started talking about it at some point last year. But I've certainly watched a lot of small ant videos. And quite a number of those are speed running and speed running related things. But yeah, I would, I think I would really be into that. I like when they do like fun, different kind of race things where you still have to know the game, but there's a twist on it and you got to go fast. I don't know. It's just fun. It's just fun. I've also seen the things that a few of these guys have done where they do the loading zone randomizers in Pokemon.
Yeah,
that looks like a ton of fun. I want to do that with somebody, you know. You just spend like 2 hours going through every single door and just be like, one of these things is going to lead me to the gym, One of these things is going to lead me to the gym. I want to do that. I want to do stuff like that, so, but I don't know. We'll see.
What I'm hearing, Tempest, because we've had this suggestion before, what I'm hearing is we need to start an LIW YouTube channel where we can review Avatar The Last Airbender. You can teach me about Yu-Gi-Oh! And then we'll also do some Pokemon challenges on the side as well.
I mean, I got nothing else to do. Why not? Let's start another channel. We can make it work. Yeah.
Unfortunately, Tempest, I do have other things to do. I do not have time to work on other stuff right now. It's very sad.
It's true. It's true. I haven't posted to my own YouTube channel in like 6 months because of this.
Yeah. Legit. Same for my D&D YouTube channel. I'm not posting in ages. I do want to. It's just, it's a lot. Yeah.
It is. Got other
stuff going on. But
when you're a one-man show and you got to film and edit and record and write and gather your own footage and images and everything for B-roll and make sure that it's good. You got to do all those things.
Yeah,
it's hard, man. Mm-hmm. It's hard being a content creator, especially when you're also a content creator for work.
Yeah,
you know, like when this is work, it's kind of hard to make your hobby also the exact same thing you do for work.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But 100%. I still want to do it, maybe when I just have a little bit more time.
Yeah, absolutely. And like the thing with workers as well is that I obviously people, I think, probably at this point recognize that across the 4 channels that we have now, we put out a lot of content, which, you know, takes a bit of time. But I don't think people realize how much time goes into that content.
There's a lot of stuff you don't see.
Oh, yeah. It's
which is basically everything. You don't see any of the process. The process is a process.
Oh, yeah, totally. And, you know, there's all of us are now working like full time. So, you know, we had a fair few like freelancers stuff before. But we've got a lot of full time staff working on this stuff now. So it takes a lot. So then doing all that full time and doing all the admin side of things and then actually making the content and blah, blah, blah. And then having to do content on top of the content it's hard. But anyway, maybe at some point we'll do a thing. Maybe when you and I both get fired for blowing up Ollie another time or something, we'll start our own LIW channel and then we'll thrive.
Hell yeah, let's make it happen.
Anyway, that is going to do it for this episode of the WrestleTalk Podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Oh yeah, I'm also ending my D&D campaign tomorrow. Oh my god. Anyway, I'm not going to say anything more about that because nothing's changed since the last time. I'm just nervous about it. Thank you for listening, everyone. Really do appreciate it. Stay safe. We've got more content coming soon. It's Rumble Week next week, so we're going to have predictions and live reactions for that next week on the WrestleTalk Podcast channel. Stay tuned for that. Subscribe over there. Stay safe. We love you very much. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.